The following is Dan Perkins' appearance on Ken Lovejoy's Charlotte County Speaks radio show in Southwest Florida.
Inspired by the raucous chaos at this weekend's Ryder Cup, the PGA and the UFC have joined forces to create the Professional Golfers Fighting Championship! 18 holes in the octagon! You think it's tough hitting a 7-iron out of the rough? Try doing it while being roughed up with a 7-iron! The PGFC! The serenity of Pebble Beach on a Sunday afternoon.
With the violence of a Saturday night Staten Island bar brawl!
Where birdies and black eyes, fairways and fist fights are par for the course. This time, that green jacket comes with a matching belt.
The Professional Golfers Fighting Championship!
Where every hole is sudden death.
How about some free coffee today?
It is National Coffee Day.
I haven't even had my morning cup of coffee.
I haven't even had a cup of coffee.
Cup of Joe coffee?
Cup of coffee.
I haven't even had my morning coffee.
Before I have my first cup of coffee, bring it.
First cup of coffee ever, immediately?
Today is National Coffee Day.
Happy National Coffee Day.
It's showtime.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is Charlotte County Speaks, your chance to let your voice be heard on local, state, and national issues. And now, broadcasting live from a dumpy little warehouse behind a Taco Bell, the host of Charlotte County Speaks, Ken Lovejoy.
Thank you, Johnny. News Radio 1580, 100.9 FM, WCCFradio.com, and on your iHeartRadio app. Charlotte County Speaks on the air, hour number two, as we head to the phones to talk shop with none other than Dan Perkins. Dan, how you doing?
Good morning, sir. I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Not too bad. Good
Did
week.
Did you watch the fighting match over the weekend?
Jeez. I, you know, New Yorkers, what are you going to say? What a bunch of losers. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Getting their asses kicked, and then they start catcalling. You know, I'd never have another event like that in New York ever again.
Well, it looks like the earliest they can get there, based on the schedule, is 2043.
Good. We'll all be gone by then.
I don't think that Roy will be playing in the PGA.
No.
Regular tour in 2043.
No.
But, you know, it was interesting. We had all these hustles with the fans on arguably what might be the most difficult golf course in the world.
Yeah.
And we still lost.
Yeah.
The fans couldn't intimidate the players from the European Union.
Well, and why would they? Why, you know, it's golf. You know, this isn't football. This isn't soccer. This isn't rugby. It's golf.
Right.
And these guys need to learn some manners and shut the hell up. They should have been tossed out.
It's a gentleman's game.
Yes.
But, sometimes there aren't many gentlemen around. But anyway, I'm not trying to belittle it, but that's not important compared to the other things
no.
that I talked to you about
True.
This morning.
Yeah.
Well, things are getting out of hand. And let me. I have a couple of issues. Let me deal with the first one. We had the FBI report on Friday. Cash Patel, that the original report that there were 24 to 26 operatives from the FBI, meaning not real FBI agents, at the January 6th response to a report on Friday, depending on which one you looked at, there were 274 plainclothes FBI agents in the crowd.
That's what I read.
January 6th.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
How do you miscount the number by tenfold?
You lie through your teeth because you have to protect the FBI because they were complicit in facilitating a coup.
Agreed. But here we have, again, another situation where I don't think, and maybe you'll disagree with me, it's my understanding that under the rules of the House, the Speaker of the House is in charge of the responsibility for security for the Capitol building
mm-hmm.
and working with the Capitol Police
mm-hmm.
To provide that security.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Trump, before the January 6th meeting, offered to the Speaker a contingent of National Guard troops to provide security
mm-hmm.
in case anything happened.
Yes.
She turned it down.
Yes, because they wanted something to happen. They needed something to happen. They needed an emergency to create the new rules, which prevented anybody from questioning the legitimacy of the vote.
Right. And then we had also Mayor Bowser, the mayor of Washington, D.C., also refused the FBI or refused the National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that either one of those two people had any idea that there were 274 FBI agents in plain clothes who were in the crowd.
I don't think Bowser did, but Pelosi did.
And why do you say that?
Because I believe there was a lot of people that had to be in on this to organize it.
Mm-hmm.
She deliberately turned down National Guard help. The FBI already had advanced knowledge that there was going to be a sizable crowd at this January 6th event. But they needed to create an emergency to create the emergency powers that stripped Pence of his responsibility and that would not allow any debate. It was just get in there, certify the election, and move on. And the whole emergency was what they were deliberately trying to stir up. And in my opinion, and a lot of other people's, if they couldn't get enough people stirred up to create the emergency to put in the emergency powers, that's what the fake pipe bombs were going to be for.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I also understand that it was Pelosi who was the singular person who characterized what was going as an insurrection,
mm-hmm.
which they don't use anymore. Now it's a riot,
yeah,
or a protest. But she was the one who used the word insurrection, and it was picked up by the mainstream media big time and used time and time and time again.
Yeah.
Now, so that was insightful. And as I read the stories, it appears that the vast preponderance of information and evidence to support the contention of 274 came from whistleblowers within the FBI themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything that Pam or Cash made up. It was tips from the FBI. And there were a number of people who were fired over the weekend as FBI agents.
The number better be 274 that are fired.
Well, the 274 may have been sent there by their superiors.
Doesn't matter. They knew that they were. It doesn't matter who sent them there. Once they were there, they knew why they were there.
Well, Patel was saying, it is not the responsibility of the FBI to deal with crowd control. That's not what they do.
So why were they there?
That's what the 274 were sent in for, to try and help control the crowd.
No, that's BS. So if they would have been in uniform if they were trying to control the crowd. They were trying to control the crowd in a different fashion. They were trying to manipulate the crowd, to rile up the crowd, to get the crowd to break in, to bust through the barriers, which is what they eventually did. That's what those 274 FBI agents were there. And everybody knows it. And all 274 need to be fired, and Cash needs to quit kissing ass and start doing his job.
The second issue is Comey. Now, he was indicted by a grand jury in Virginia, not for D.C., because he probably would never got indicted in D.C. because it's high Democratic bias. But in Northern Virginia, he was indicted. And there's going to be a trial. And over the weekend, on one of the weekend news programs on cable, not on the Fox network, the former attorney for Donald Trump, Mr. Cohen, said that, one, he believes that Comey is guilty, and two, he'll be convicted.
He's guilty without question. Again, too much evidence that's already come out of his mouth. His mouth. I mean, he's pretty arrogant. He just pretty much spilled the beans. But convicted, You know, you're still in Northern Virginia, so I don't know. I'm hoping for the best. He does deserve to go down for it, as does Adam Schiff. As do a lot of people. Brennan, definitely. Clapper, because it's more than the Russiagate thing. It's the Spygate. The Spygate is right. What brought us the Russiagate. You couldn't have Russiagate if there was no Spygate. And so
Trump, when he was asked about the indictment by the grand jury, response to a question, will there be others? And he said he believes so, that there will be other people indicted.
Yeah, you would think.
Now, if you read the indictment from the grand jury, there's a couple of interesting facts that are not being reported, especially in the mainstream media. The grand jury indicated that there was a person of interest who they did not indict, but suggested that it needs, in essence, that person needs to be investigated more. But by naming that person or persons as a person of interest indicates that there was evidence, but maybe not enough compelling evidence to cause the grand jury to indict. And we didn't hear any of that over the weekend because that was Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh. Well, no one deserves to be indicted more than she does. But, you know, again, we're dealing with wimpish Republicans here. So I'm not holding my breath. I'm hoping for the best. No one deserves justice more than she. But again, when you look at the big picture of who we're dealing with here, it's a coin toss whether we get justice.
Yeah, now it's interesting to me because it was a grand jury called by the director of or the attorney general. They must have had a reason why. I know why they wouldn't do it in the district because of the unreasonableness of the number of Democrats. But they could have chosen anywhere, and yet they chose Northern Virginia. There may be something there that we don't know, but there was a reason why they went there when they could go probably anywhere they wanted to go.
Yeah.
Because Northern Virginia is not where the crime took place. The crime took place in that they're talking about. The capital happens to be in the District of Columbia, but they chose not to go there. So there must be a reason why they chose that particular area to impound the grand jury and got apparently whatever they wanted. Now, former Trump attorney Cohen said that the government has hundreds of thousands of documents that they can go through and they'll find something to charge him. And it's like the obvious, wait a minute, he lied to Congress.
Yeah.
That's a criminal offense. And that's not very hard to prove because we got all the video.
Mm-hmm.
So that there are things that he can be charged with that are so obvious, I'm trying to figure out why they aren't. Why are they doing it, why they're talking about two other issues. So, but perhaps in investigating those issues, they will open up the opportunity to talk about the Russiagate and all that kind of stuff that went on under his tutelage as FBI director. But anyway, I was glad to see that they did something and that there looks like the person who was interviewing Comey Cohen was flabbergasted on the television show. She didn't know what to say, you know. Well, weren't you guilty? And he talked about his negotiation took 48 hours and it's been years on Comey. So I still think that Comey, Clapper, and Brennan are number one targets and that they're going to get taken care of. Now, moving on to the third piece. The third piece is a little hard to talk about. We had a Mormon church that was attacked with a pickup truck, fire bombs and rifles, and now there's four people that have died, and there are still a number that are injured. Stories came out about how there were parents who were covering their children to try and shelter them. There's pictures of the church smoking and burning. And earlier in the week, we had another situation, I think on Friday, where in North Carolina, a guy was in a boat, drove up into an inlet off of a harbor, and opened fire on a restaurant and killed people. The left doesn't want to take any responsibility for any of these actions. In fact, Kimmel got taken off for a very short period of time because he said that he believed that that MAGA was responsible for Charlie Kirk's death, that they planned it, and that was false. So, but what concerns me is that the threat level of violence against people, period. Now it's churches, but churches were attacked. There were 432 churches that were attacked last year in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the use of weapons is up 85% over last year against churches.
Well, why I would recommend people go strapped to praise the Lord.
Yeah, you know, and they were interviewing some people, and I've been talking to some people, and there is this great reluctance of arming members of the congregation to protect the congregation.
Why?
Because there's a commandment that thou shalt not kill.
No. Thou shalt not murder.
Okay.
There's a big difference. All right. God kills a whole bunch of people in the Bible, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. So, but it's a situation that concerns me because the Democrats are not owning up to any of the responsibility. They're trying to get the Republicans to do shared responsibility for all these shootings.
No,
when
it's their fault, all of it, every last bit of it.
So what do we do?
You arm yourself and you keep your head on a swivel and you take the bastards out when they come for you. End of story. And you start putting a few holes in these people before they can get away with anything. And that adds a little bit of a disincentive.
Well, not all, in all cases, but in most cases when these shootings take place, the perpetrator is either shot by police or he takes his own life. Now, in the case of the gentleman who killed Charlie Kirk, he didn't attempt to kill himself, nor did he attempt to fight it out with the police. And so, you know, this whole issue of calling Trump supporters Nazis, the ISIS, Gestapo, and Trump is Hitler.
Yeah,
I think it's having an impact, a negative impact on the momentum of what Trump is trying to do in the country, and it's all because the Democrats are inciting these riots and these shootings.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's halting any. I think it's showing a lot of people, including a lot of Democrats who are on the fence, exactly who their party is, exactly what they stand for, and it's turning mm-hmm. more people off than it's. They're not recruited. The psychos are going to be there anyway. They've always been there. They're there now, and they're being actually ginned up by rhetoric coming from people like Gavin Newsom and other leftist commentators.
Now we have the other situation. We have anarchy in Portland.
What's
and,
new?
Trump wants to send in the National Guard to restore order, and the mayor and the governor are having nothing to do with it.
Well, it doesn't really matter. Who are they? What's Antifa in Portland? Where are they attacking? They're attacking federal buildings. So that's mm-hmm. that's where the mayor and the governor, okay, we're going to protect our federal buildings. You guys shut up and stay out of our way. That's their best course of action. Shut up and stay out of the way. Because we're finally, because now the federal government, rather than facilitating Antifa, we've decided to now try and curb Antifa's influence.
Right. So the other thing is we had the shooting in Dallas where the shooter was almost indiscriminately firing on an ISIS facility. ICE facility where people were shot in a transport van. And again, it didn't appear that the shooter was after necessarily the ICE officers.
Or he was just a bad shot.
Well, he shot into this van where he injured people. I mean, but again, going back to trying to understand the mental situation involved, what we're seeing is, in my opinion, an escalation of the violence, deadly violence in this country, and it's almost like it seems like there's nothing we can do. I listened to the audio of the sheriff in Michigan this morning, and he was talking about the time the call went in. And at what time they had police that had responded, and what we know that there was about a minute after the call went in that police arrived on the scene. What we don't know is what damage was done before the call went in at 10:25. And the reason I'm doing that is because what I'm trying to figure out that even though the police responded when they got the call, we don't know how much damage in terms of people being shot and killed and the fire starting was taking place before somebody called 911 and got through to the police. We don't know that yet, but I'm still trying to try and find that out.
Yeah,
because if the attack was pretty much over by the time the police were called, meaning people were shot and killed before the police got there, the ministers of these congregations around the country have to understand that first responders can no longer respond in a timely fashion to provide protection for your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do it for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it's a issue that becomes harder and harder for the clergy to walk away from.
Yeah, I know several churches that have already addressed that situation, and they do have a group of armed individuals that are inside the church that are parishioners that will have been, you know, that the pastor knows about, you know, and they're staged in different areas throughout the church, and that's unfortunately that's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be.
I agree. I totally agree. I'm doing an interview this Thursday with a woman who's started a company 9 years ago to train off-duty police officers to provide security for schools and churches. And she has no room left in her academy to take people, and she gets inundated all the time. And she doesn't feel that it can be done nationally. It's something that has to be done locally because the laws are all different in each state. So I'm interested in having her on and see what she has to say.
Yeah.
So it's an ugly place out there.
Yeah. Gotta stay frosty out there, folks. Stay strapped and stay frosty.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
It's Dan Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his website. He's got a great one out there. All kinds of information on it. DanPerkinsMedia.org. DanPerkinsMedia.org. Have a safe week, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Just one quick note for you. We sold out the golf outing.
Oh, yeah. Coming up on the 11th.
Sold it out.
Oh, he's sold out. It's awesome. Good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You bet.
Have a good week.
You too.
Take care. How are you now, Dad?
You mean we had a crossover guy, Dad.
Up north for some father-son fishing, Dad.
Don't get the kids all riled up before bed, Dad.
Okay, now to be fair. Lots of people emit sounds when they stands up and sits down, not just dads.
We'll be right back with Charlotte County Speaks on News Radio 1580 WCCF.
Where's the beef? Yeah, people my age, us old folks, we remember that commercial. 1980s, where's the beef with Wendy's, correct? Yeah, the old lady there making fun of McDonald's and Burger King for their small patties. Anyway, I want to talk about where's the beef. Well, yeah, where is it? We're obviously not manufacturing enough of it. We don't have enough cattle here in this country. USDA ground beef retail prices hit a record, $6.10 a pound. Ranchers here in the United States slashing their herds, can't afford it. Expensive feed, all sorts of issues dealing with the government. You know, I'm just saying, you know, maybe, just maybe, we should bring back the cowboys so we can get our beef. Watchdog on WallStreet.com.
News Radio 1580, 100.9 FM, WCCF 1041 here at Charlotte County Speaks.
Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In Book 1, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book 2 has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com.
You're good. We have got our rousing Tuesday edition of the world-famous Cheeky Jaguar radio broadcast. And we have the most dangerous man in radio, according to some, Dan Perkins, with us from Dan Perkins Media. The man who, as Frank Minuccio always likes to say, will keep you up at night. And we have the aforementioned Frank Bernuccio, USA Gov Policy. Forget about what you heard. That this man is busier than a fruit merchant with all the different things that he is doing. And then we have the rabble rousing ringleader of our group, IQ Al Rizzoli. So let's start with Portland, Oregon, as the great Tom Likas would refer to it. There is a lot going on up there. Trump going to be sending the National Guard up there. We'll start with Bernuccio. What is the latest that you have been hearing, my man?
Well, the Democrats have done it again. They fired on Fort Sumter back in the 1861. Now, of course, they're saying that the feds can't execute federal law in the sovereign state, apparently, of Portland. It's a rejection of federalism. It's a rejection of the entire constitutional scheme of government. And to show you how far things have gotten on the ground, a reporter who was beaten by one of the Antifa folk tried to run to the police for protection, and they wound up arresting her rather than the people who beat her. That's how far things have gone in Portland, Oregon. Look, it is not too far to say, as some in the Democratic Party have saying, that this might be a nonviolent civil war erupting with the rejection of constitutional scheme of government and the power of the federal government. This is absolutely sensational when you look at the fact that the left is protesting the federal government simply trying to enforce federal law. And they are lofting all sorts of complaints about President Trump, saying he's a dictator. But in their view, a dictator is someone who simply tries to enforce existing law in the way that the federal government envisioned it be enforced. How far will this go? Well, I think if President Trump doesn't back down, this will eventually be put down. But increasingly, we see that the Democratic Party, the party of the Civil War, the party of violence, the party of hatred, is doing what it has done perhaps for 100 years. You know, they started the Civil War. They were responsible for the Ku Klux Klan. They're responsible for all sorts of things. And now they're doing it again.
So, IQ Alrazoli, your thoughts on this before we go?
You don't want to hear my thoughts. You don't want to hear my thoughts. I always said, you counter violence with violence. I don't believe in turning the other cheek. Antifa and all these people who surround ICE, I should be given the right to shoot to kill. I mean, shoot to kill. You can shake your head from here to eternity. You're not solving the problem. You're adding to the problem. I'm solving the problem.
Dan.
So
do you want to solve the problem without shooting people?
Yeah, I would like to do that, but I am going to do something that I have rarely done on your show before. I've actually rarely done it anywhere before. I am going to complain about Fox News, and I'm going to complain about the mainstream media and the written press.
Okay.
Portland, Oregon, the ICE facility in Portland, Oregon has been under attack for 100 days. 100 days. And on the 100th day last week, the media has decided to report about it. What happened to the whole media, including left and right, that they ignored this story for 100 days? I'm really very disappointed in all of them. But I agree with Frank. You know, we're talking about constitutional law, the powers of the President of the United States to preserve and protect the Constitution and the people. And, you know, we have the same situation going on in Illinois. Apparently, Trump has sent some troops from Texas heading towards Illinois. The state of Illinois, the city of Chicago are suing the federal government that they're violating the Constitution. It's really a situation where it's insane. It makes no sense. It shows to me that the Democratic Party has no real leadership. They have some very outspoken people who are outlandish and get headlines and get covered by the media, but they don't really have any real dynamic leader. And I believe it was last week, Frank, that perhaps it was Pew Research came out and the approval rating of the Democrats in Congress, 25%, the lowest it's ever been in the history of taking those polls. So that the American people are not on the side of, it appears, not on the side of the Democrats, and the Democrats are clearly not on the sides of the American people. The idea that Schumer would go to the president and ask for $1.5 trillion to provide health care for illegals and transgender and restore the money to public broadcasting and overturn the whole budget process, to think that he would accept that, again, shows a lack of leadership and understanding in the Democratic Party. How they can think they can win the midterm elections with a party in total chaos, I don't see that.
Bernicio,
let me add to Dan's excellent points. The media is portraying this as perhaps Democrats versus Republicans, or perhaps local authority versus Washington. It's
right,
neither.
Right.
This is a case of Democrat left-wing elected officials versus their own constituents. When you have locales such as Chicago, where the death rate, particularly for young black men, exceeds the death rate for similar folks in Afghanistan, and the federal government simply wants to put a stop to that, and the Democrat leadership says, no, you can't, that's the Democrats versus their own constituents. The same thing in places like Portland, Oregon. We, you know, there used to be a saying in politics, there's no Democrat or Republican way of picking up the garbage, meaning, of course, that certain local functions were beyond politics. You just did the best you could to provide local services like police protection, sanitation, and fire for the benefit of the local residents. But now it seems Democrat local officials are not interested in any of that. They're interested only in pursuing their own radical left-wing agenda, to the detriment of everything else. When you look at the Democratic Party, for example, in New York, supporting Mamdani, who would literally, and according to most people, most intelligent folks viewing this from the right or the left, he would destroy New York City. But nevertheless, the party continues it. When you look in Virginia, where the candidate for attorney general, the chief law enforcement of the state, says he fantasizes about killing his opponent and then killing his children.
Good
and the
God.
Democratic Party still refuses to revoke their support for him, then you're looking at something radically different than we've ever seen before in the United States. We're seeing, again, the Democratic Party versus their own constituents.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up with what Frank is saying, is that we had a situation last week in Chicago where ICE officials were surrounded by 10 cars in a blockade that basically cornered them. And they went to their brothers in the Chicago Police Department asking for support. And the mayor said, no, you're not sending anybody. And the chief of police said, we're not sending anybody. So they didn't send anybody.
With all due respect, my question to all of you, how is it possible for police officers to stand down when equal people like them are being attacked? It doesn't matter who gave the instruction. Don't give me, please. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that the governor said so. To hell with the governor. To hell with the mayor. He asked them to stand down. That's illegal.
Well, the person who is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, the National Association of Police Officers, was outraged and came out and said, how can we not support our brothers when they're in danger?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. I mean, it's like soldiers being surrounded by the enemy and some politician says, no, you can't save them.
And I want to share with Frank an idea, see what his reaction to it is. One of the things we can begin to get control of the cities and the crime and everything else that's going on is we can no longer have sheriffs who are or police chiefs who are appointed by the policymakers. The sheriffs and the police chiefs need to run for election and be held directly accountable by the elected voters.
Yep.
And this guy in Chicago was appointed. The guy in Minneapolis, appointed. In many of the blue cities, the chiefs of police are appointed by the bureaucracy. I think we need to change that, and they should be elected by the voters.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan, because what? Go ahead, IQ, I'm sorry.
Sorry, no, does that need a constitutional amendment?
No.
No,
it does not.
It's a brilliant idea, just like everybody else. Sheriffs in America, in the cowboy times, they were elected.
Yeah. One of the reasons why Dan's idea is so pertinent is the reason that the police obeyed what they were told to do and stand down and not protect their brother law enforcement officers.
Right.
Is that their pensions were on the line. You know, it's easy to say you should have done something different. But when you're supporting your family when you've got to feed the kids, pay for their schools, and do all that stuff, pay the heating bills, pay the food bills. And the reward is, if you do the right thing, to get fired and to be on the unemployment line. Well, that makes the decision-making, frankly, harder. Should it be that way? Well, you know, people are human, and that's simply the way it is. So when you have the police officials appointed by the mayor or, you know, by the mayor or the governor, that makes those decisions much harder. So Dan's point makes a lot of sense, because then they would be answerable to the people. And right now, far too little of the bureaucracy on the federal and state and local levels is not answerable to the people any longer.
Right, right. I did a, in the same kind of vein you're talking about, I did a show last week where we were talking about the shutdown and how it's going to affect the police and the fire and the army and all of that stuff. And I said, the Office of Management and Budget reported that there were 2.2 million civilian employees in the federal government under the control of the President of the United States. Of that, 750,000, let me say it again, 750,000 or 34% of the federal civilian workforce are classified as non-essential personnel.
So get rid of them.
I agree.
I would love to see that happen.
Well, part of the problem, too, is that they're not responsible for results. They're just responsible for staying there. I took over at one point in my career a significant portion of a state agency. And I was told that I couldn't fire some of my workers who didn't do their job. So I researched this a bit. And while I didn't have the ability to fire them, I could transfer them. So the office was in New York City. And I decided, I called in these employees and I said, as of next week, you're being transferred to Buffalo, New York.
That's
which is kind of the equivalent of Siberia if you're in New York State.
Right.
And I suddenly found that my non-performing state employees became superstars within about 10 days.
Right.
So we have to start having results-oriented federal workers. There are too many federal workers to begin with. And by the way, one way to shorten the shutdown is to announce that we will not pay any wages for federal employees during the time of the shutdown, with the exception of the armed forces.
Right. And theoretically, what Trump is talking about doing now is, because the 750,000 people are classified as non-essential, he can defer their salary and not give it to them when the government opens back up, because they're considered non-essential. But he also said that he believes a significant percentage of those people, one, are still working from home. They didn't come back to the city. And two, they're working two jobs.
Yeah. On simultaneous hours, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. So that he what surprised me is he said late last week he was going to possibly lay off 16,000. Well, 16,000 out of 750,000 that are non-essential. I mean, I asked this question all last week on every show I did. If 750,000 people are non-essential employees, why do we have them? If you're not essential, why do we have them? Is it because of the bureaucracy that we expanded under Obama and under Biden? We expanded the federal bureaucracy to create jobs. Well,
yeah, this is one of the reasons why COVID has had such a ruinous long-term effect on the United States, because you had a lot of these employees who were hired to do work that didn't have to be done at all. You have a lot of people who were, a lot of funds that were given that should have been stopped the moment COVID was declared no longer a valid pandemic. But those monies continue. One of the reasons for the shutdown is because we want to go back to non-pre-pandemic spending levels. Mm-hmm. That's not just a strange thing. That shouldn't be such a hard task. Simply not spend more than we spent before the pandemic on government programs or on healthcare or things like that. But yet the Democrats and the media make it sound as though going back to pre-pandemic levels is somehow going to sink the republic.
I have another question for Frank. And
yes.
I want you to tell me if I've got this right or not. But it appears to me that the rhetoric coming from the Democrats, who have asked for a ransom of $1.5 trillion, is around health care. And what they want to do is they want to maintain the premium support for Obamacare that was in place during the pandemic. And so they want to keep that in place and renew it because it's supposed to end at the end of December. And that money is going to be going to illegals. And the Democrats are saying, no, this not, they're not going to get Medicare because they're not citizens. And I'm saying to myself, Gavin Newsom, if the average person hears that, they don't know what to think. But what's really going on is that people don't understand, most of the American people do not understand that Medicare and Medicaid are state-administered programs, not federal government programs. So what is Gavin Newsom doing in California? Move $12.5 billion out of Medicare and Medicaid funds to support housing, insurance, food, education for illegals. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. And in fact, this concept that the left has pushed that the United States of America should be the welfare agency for the entire planet is one that is rapidly bankrupting this country. We are 37 point something trillion dollars in debt. Dollars in debt. We are, if we were a private company, pretty much on the verge of being declared totally bankrupt. And yet, nevertheless, they want to expand spending and not for American citizens. One of the things that I think is truly galling, if you want to talk about doing something right when it comes to medical care, Medicare for many Americans is a disappointment. They thought after working all their lives and being forced to pay into Medicare, that when they turned 65 and turned seriously ill, all their problems in terms of debt would be over with for medical care. Medicare, in fact, does not pay for a lot of medical expenses. If you want to spend money on Medicare, if you want to enhance that spending, make it so that Medicare really does cover those expenses. Of course, you couldn't do that financially, but you certainly can't do it for people who are not even American citizens. Why is it that American citizens are being asked to sacrifice in order to pay for people who are not even here legally? And the reason for that, of course, in the Democratic Party is that push comes to shove, they don't really care that much for American citizens. They always seem to vote in large numbers the wrong way. They want people who don't believe in capitalism, who don't believe in the Constitution. And the more you bring those people into the country, the more they encourage them to stay, the better it is for the Democratic Party.
So I don't see, Frank, how it's possible. I realize we've got a little over a year before the midterm election, but the Democrats keep talking about how they think they're going to win the midterm elections. Now I understand part of that is rhetoric to try and beef up the base, but when you got a 25% approval rating and you're not even in power in the Congress, I just don't see how that's going to happen. And I really think that there's a terribly rude awakening coming, that they're going to see significant losses. I'm, based on what I'm hearing, and if you're hearing anything different, Frank, please tell us. From what I'm hearing is that the item going on the ballot in California about taking the redistricting powers away from the commission, the nonpartisan commission, and giving it to the Democratic legislature to redraw the lines, is not doing well. even with all the money.
No, it's not. That's correct. But here's the problem with all of those things in California. Ballot harvesting. With the advent of ballot harvesting in California, even the most unpopular measures that benefit the Democratic Party always seem to squeak through. If you look at some of the polls, the pre-election polls on certain things like the recall for Governor Newsom, etc., always seem to be doing fairly poorly in the polls, but they always seem to win in the final analysis because with ballot harvesting, you're able, and let me use the word, cheat pretty substantially to make sure they always get over the finish line.
There was a story over the weekend speaking about ballot harvesting about this woman in California. I think she was in San Francisco, who got a UPS package from Amazon that had 250 mail-in ballots in it for California. 250 to one address. Unbelievable.
Not surprising. Even here in New York, for example, I had a couple of friends married. He a Republican, she a Democrat. They were both very ill, couldn't leave the house. They both applied for absentee ballots. She got hers. She's a Democrat. He never got his. He's a Republican.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Well, Vernuccio, before we let you go, bring us up to speed on everything you got going on with the radio and TV program, my man.
Hey, if you want a almost master class in what's going on in the Middle East and the history of what happened with Palestinians, our guest is Clara Lopez, a retired CIA agent assigned to the Middle East during her career. And she goes from, frankly, from Moses through the Roman Empire straight through today of how there never was a valid Palestinian state. And there still is no Palestinian state. This nonsense about a Palestine, which doesn't exist, never existed, and never should exist, is something that the left clings to, that countries like France and the UK and Canada are supporting simply to appease their left-wing domestic population. You got to tune into the show at usagovpolicy.com. You'll find things that'll absolutely fascinate you this week.
Frank, can I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
What's your take on what's going on or not going on with Russia?
With?
Russia and Ukraine.
Well, I think that Donald Trump is finally getting a wake-up lesson that Vladimir Putin wants to reestablish the USSR and that there's no negotiation, there's no deal, there's no inducement that you can get that'll change Putin from his course. The only thing that the president can do right now is to allow the Ukrainians to get all the weapons they want, short of nuclear, chemical, or biological, no matter how long range they are, and give the Ukrainians a fair chance to defeat the Russians on the battlefield, plain and simple.
Okay. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Great being with you guys.
I appreciate it, Frank. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
There he goes.
That is Frank Vernuccio. Hopefully our guest joins us here in just a few moments, but while we wait on them, IQ, bring us up to speed on what your latest article is.
I was going to say something before Frank left.
Yes.
In an insane world, the insane think the sane are insane. And this is where we are. Shall I repeat it to you? In an insane world, the insane think the sane people are insane. Think about it. That's where we are.
Okay.
The Democrats are insane, and they think the Republicans are insane. But they are the ones who are insane. And as Dan was saying, how will they win in 2026? How is it possible they can win anything in 2026? In fact, the toilet room they shouldn't be able to get.
When you got on for Attorney General in Virginia says, I had a dream about shooting my opponent, and I had two bullets, and I had three people, and I chose to put both bullets in the candidate, and then I was looking for a couple more to waste his children. And the Democrats have said
that is just
zero.
Wild to me.
Said
that is
zero
a thing
about it.
That is okay. Just wild.
So how could sane Americans vote for them in 2026? That's what I want to know. You have to be insane to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Okay. So IQ, yeah. Bring us up to speed on your latest article that's available at Out Loud News.
Okay, I'm writing an article called MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction. This concept has to be revised. And the use of nuclear weapons, tactical ones, should be allowed. I'll tell you why. At the moment, the war is asymmetrical in the Middle East. The Houthis shoot one missile, a million people have to go underground to protect themselves. One missile. The Houthis are 1,200 miles away. You can't invade them by land. And to send aircraft, it's a costly item. And all the attacks that America did and Israel did have not produced any results. They are shooting ballistic missiles with fragmentation bombs to destroy civilians, to kill civilians. The United Nations hasn't said anything. And the Western leaders never said anything. Now, should Israel retaliate the same way? They can. They have a Jericho 3. They can completely wipe, literally, Sana'a in a day. In a day. And they don't have to give a warning because the Houthis are not giving any warning. But what will happen? Genocide. It's all right, genocide to kill the Jews, but not genocide to defend and kill Muslims. That's what it is. But I'm telling you, it will come to nuclear weapons to be used in tactical war.